Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, September 19th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading up from the Big Book and we're on page 154, the fourth paragraph, but what about his responsibilities? Through one paragraph ending, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G., 12 Traditions, Alex K. Readers of the text, Eileen M., Lois P., and Larry G. The reference numbers for Monday, September 18th, is 20,653. That's 20653. And for this morning, Tuesday, September 19th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,655. That's 20655. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Susan S.H., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G., recovering compulsive overeater from Nevada. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us to, and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for allowing me to read these beautiful 12 steps. I pass.
Thank you so much, Letty G. I'll now ask Alex K. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Dawn. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered for today. The 12 Traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 154, the fourth paragraph, but what about his responsibilities? Through one paragraph ending, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver, reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. We will now ask Eileen M. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. But what about his responsibilities, his family, and the men who would die because they would not know how to get well? Ah, yes, those other alcoholics. There must be many such in this town. He would phone a clergyman. His sanity returned, and he thanked God. Selecting a church at random from the directory, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. Oh, great paragraph. I just love it. So Bill is presented with an opportunity, and you know, he has a chance now to behave in a different way than what he used to do. This came after, you know, he's contemplating sitting in the bar, and he realizes that he has fear. You know, in the previous paragraph it said fear gripped him. And, you know, it doesn't say whether he did a 10th step or not, but, you know, what he did was he took the next right action, which was, you know, how do we get through difficult times? You know, he was having a difficult time. And how do we do that? Is we turn our thoughts to somebody that we can help. And, you know, when I think about this line, it says, what about the responsibilities? Is that, you know, my interpretation of that is that line, that, you know, sentence might have been an intuitive thought. And, you know, he was available for inspiration from God. Why? Because he had worked all the steps with sobriety. You know, there were only 6 steps at the time. You know, he worked all the steps, and he entered the world of the Spirit. So now he was available for inspiration. And, you know, that's what the spiritual awakening does for us, or at least that's what it did for me. It gave me the power of choice, because before I was recovered, I had no choice. You know, and this is the promise of step 2, is that we will be restored to sanity as a result of the steps. And I just love this. You know, I heard on the first hour that this incident actually happened 6 months after he had the spiritual awakening that made him a free man. You know, and it doesn't say he asked God for the next right thought or action, but I mean that's exactly what happened, is he did the next right thing, which was to, you know, get out of himself. And that's what, you know, my sponsor always tells me that. She says, hey, if you're having a hard time, get out of yourself and see who you can help, because that's your job now, is to be of maximum service to other people. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.?
Leah S.H.
Was that Leah S.H.?
Susan S.H.
Oh, Susan S.H., I'm sorry.
Barbara A.
Barbara
Laura W.
A. Barbara A., Laura W.
Cheryl A.
Cheryl A.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. And we'll go ahead and stop there. I have Janice P.M., Susan S.H., Barbara A., Laura W., Cheryl A., and Joan Marie M. Janice P.M., please go ahead and get us started.
Yes, good morning to you, Dawn. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. What a picture this is. It's, you know, I had the grace of going there and being at that hotel, and there's a big, big, long steps to get to that, to the end. And at the end of each of those steps, on the left side was the bar, and on the right side there was the phone and the church directory. And boy, what a decision he had to make. And it's only through divine intervention. Now remember, like it was said, he wasn't feeling that great, yet he was sober. He had a lot on his mind. He had to pay a bill. He didn't have the money. And because of the divine intervention that he was recovered, even though when I'm, you know, something's happened in my life, the first thing, well, sometimes is, you know, what am I going to eat? But being recovered, the divine intervention that God does for me, what I can't do for myself, is to pick up the phone and not the food. And that's what Bill had to do. He had to, in that split second, even though he's recovered, we think nothing's going to, you know, we won't get disturbed. But, oh, yeah, we have to live the life still. And what a miracle, because that began AA, the fellowship of AA. So instead of the drink, even though he didn't have money to pay his bill and et cetera, discouraged, he made that call. And that's what it tells us in the book. That is the solution, to help somebody else. And then his sanity was returned. Imagine. And he thanked God because he knew it had to be. It had to be a God in his life, because on my own willpower, I can't do that. My own dependence on me never worked. It was, you know, but since I, you know, went through the steps, I made a decision. It was an intuitive thought that came to me, what to do. Okay, don't eat that particular food. Call somebody, and you will be helping yourself and not only somebody else, and you will get through it. What a wonderful decision. And, you know, the altruistic plane of helping others. That's the spiritual thing to do, you know, because we're still subject to life things. And when they crop up, we ask God of your understanding how to remove that. And that's exactly what he did. Thank you. I will pass now. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Susan SH, please share with us, followed by Barbara A. Star one, Susan.
Whoops. Susan SH in Ohio, a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you. His sanity returned and he thanked God. I can get wrapped up in my human emotions as well. You know, I get overcome by I'm hurt, I'm angry, I'm fearful. And I'm so very grateful for the simple directions of the steps and how my higher power enables me to match calamity with serenity. Whenever I surrender and ask Him in, you know, it comes back and I see the directions is exactly what they are. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Sometimes I roll around in it for a while before I ask for help. My first need is to quiet the disturbance by taking it to my higher power. And I'm assured that this will continue for a lifetime, according to page 84. So once I've asked my higher power in, admitted what's going on with me to Him, I can reach out. I can be helpful to others. And that's the same thing to do. He was returned to sanity and he thanked God for it. And I thank my higher power every day for that. I get the sanity to ask Him for help. I get the sanity to be able to help my fellows. And it still amazes me, and I'm so grateful to be able to be helpful and be able to be sane, because the fact is my responsibilities when I was in the disease didn't make that much of a dent on my behavior. Asking God in truly, truly does. And I will pass with that.
Thank you so much, Susan S.H. Barbara A., please share with us, followed by Laura W., and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Barbara A. from California, Pacific Time. Boy, this paragraph gave me very clear, concise instructions. This is exactly what happened to me this morning. I awoke. I did my work with my sponsee. And I decided, I'll just do a few minutes of meditation because I want to turn on something on Netflix. And then, because I had a half an hour before the meeting, and I turned it on and I said, Barbara, what do you need to do today? I need to pick up the phone and go to a meeting. I need to do that for my own recovery so I can be helpful to other people. I need to be connected and share with another compulsive overeater today, sharing on this line, to be able to be helpful to my sponsees, to do the work I need to do. And that thought in my head was, I won't go to the meeting today. I can take a day off. That's my disease for me. There are legitimate reasons for me missing a meeting, but not my own thought of, I don't need to go. I have plenty of time. I just don't need to go. That's my disease. Today I'm grateful for these concise instructions. Walk over, pick up the phone. With everything telling me, you don't have to, it's okay, you've done enough work, go pick up the phone. Reach out to another compulsive overeater. That's what I am responsible for, and that's what keeps me in recovery. So grateful to share, so grateful for this meeting, and I pass.
Hi, Barbara A. from California. Thank you so much for your share. Laura W., please share with us, if you would.
Thanks, Dawn. Good morning. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, he pauses here, and that is recovery right there. He pauses and says to himself, what about my responsibilities? You know, what about my family? You know, what he chooses the spiritual path here instead of picking up. And that is higher power, you know, and he realizes that helping others is what it's all about. He's not going to be able to stay sober unless he helps others. this is not a program about not drinking. This is not a program about not eating or eating enough. This is a program of helping others and a program of working with others and a program of changing ourselves from the inside out. So, you know, he really sees prior to this paragraph the obsession of his mind, you know, on that dismal afternoon when he's like, well, maybe I could take a drink or two. And then he's like, whoa, wait a second. Where did that thought come from? So he, you know, I've been told it's called the sacred pause, you know, and that sacred pause for me is God. So when in my head, when I hear, I'm not sure if that's the right choice, that's not me. That's God saying, Laura, pause. Think about what the next right action is. You know, think about what you should be doing instead of what you want to do. So, you know, that's what I really got out of the paragraph. It's a reminder to me each day, yes, I need to do the next right thing, but if I don't pause and ask for direction, whether it's from God or from you, or my sponsor, you know, I'm not going to get out of the old self. The old insidious, you know, the four horsemen will rear their ugly heads again. It does not matter how long I'm recovered. You know, I honestly, you know, I don't feel like I'm going to restrict my food today, but honestly, if I don't do this work on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment, I know that I could be in relapse by tomorrow. And it doesn't matter after 19 years, 19 hours or 9 days, like, it really doesn't matter. So that's why we need to keep suiting up and showing up, at least I do. And, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. I cannot stay clean on yesterday's shower. So thank you so much for letting me share and for being here today. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Cheryl A., please share with us, followed by Joan Marie M. And if you just happen to be joining us, we are on page 154. We're talking about the fourth paragraph, but what about his responsibility? Through that one paragraph ending, he stepped into a booth and lifted the receiver. So after Cheryl A. and Joan Marie share, I'll be taking some more names. So please share with us, Cheryl A.
Hi, everyone. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. These couple of paragraphs are so powerful because it summarizes in subtle ways almost the entire program in a way. I mean, just a few lines before, he loses his sanity again, right? He wants to take that first drink, but when it says with a shiver he turned away, it reminds me that it's painful. With a shiver, I do not have to engage with every thought in my head. I do not have to take action on everything that comes into my mind. And then he remembered his responsibilities and he began to focus on others right there. Step 12, boom. He starts to think about, what about those people that would die because they wouldn't know how to get well. So his mind starts immediately, when in doubt, when nothing else works, work with another alcoholic and save the day. And here it's like it did. So he starts to focus on others. And then his fifth says his sanity returned. Boom, like, whoa, his sanity returned. He went from almost losing it, and God knows if we would all be here today. Like that, there was so much hinging on that moment. And he got grateful. And then he picked up the receiver. So when I read that, it makes me cry because it reminds me that micro behaviors, micro actions have a huge impact downstream. He picked up that receiver, and there are millions of us on the phone right now around the world because he picked up that receiver. It's like when a plane is getting ready to land. If the calculation at the beginning of the flight is just a little bit off, they're not going to land, you know, where they need to in Washington, D.C. They're going to land somewhere else. The teeny little things that I do, picking up and going to this meeting now because I can't probably go to my 7 a.m. meeting anymore on East Coast time, and being able to pick up this phone and call and listen to all of you, like these mini, teeny little, they think that they're small, they're not. Because downstream, somewhere downstream, the fact that I share today is going to make a difference in my life and someone else's life. I don't even know. But I know that these micro actions that we think don't matter, matter. So I might have to turn away with a shiver because it's so hard in certain moments. Someone just passed away in my family, and it's so hard not to want to just continue to talk to my family and all that, and I will do that in its time, but right now I have got to square myself in my own recovery and program, and that is me picking up the lifted the receiver, and who knows what happens, like in this example, where years, decades later, there are millions of us who are alive today because he picked that up. Thanks so much for listening, and I wish everyone a good day.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A. from Massachusetts. Joan Marie M., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada. What a beautiful shares, just wonderful shares. And the part about his sanity returned, and he thanked God. Before I went through the steps and came back this time, I was very insane about food and everything else, and I couldn't hear God's voice because I put an idol in front of him, and my idol, my God, was food. And today I'm so grateful for this program and all the fellows. And I'm so thankful that God brought me back to sanity. And today I can really say that I have no thoughts about picking up again. I know that I went through something horrendous a couple of days ago, and my first thoughts were, share. You need to share in the meeting. You need to own those feelings. You need to put them out there. And it works, but I have to work it. I have to work it every single day, consistently, doing the same thing I did to get abstinent in the first place and have sanity, having that freedom from the bondage of food and self. This is a WE program, and I have to do it with all of you, and I have to continue to do this. It's a beautiful step-by-step way. This book brings us instructions on how to live life on life's terms, and I would say how to live life on God's terms. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. We are now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Press star 1 if you'd like to share.
Regina S.
Regina S.
Rella R. from Brooklyn.
Rella R.
Brenda S. from Washington.
Brenda
State.
S.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy W.
Nancy W. And I'll take one more name.
Deb E.
Deb E. Okay, Wendy M., please share with us, followed by Regina S., then Rella R., Brenda S., Nancy W., and Deb E. Wendy M., please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovering. Thank you, Dawn, and everybody else on the line. Appreciate you. Right, so the disease is in my voice, so it sounds right. Right, like, oh, this is, yeah, it's a good idea not to pick up the phone when someone calls, or it's a good idea not to call anybody, you know, and that's the disease, right? The disease wants me dead. The disease is the lie, right, the lie. And so this is a miracle paragraph, right? So the thing I want to really hone in on, though, is the word responsibilities. Somebody called me last night, right, and it happened to be God. It just turned out that I needed to hear God. And what happened was, what I realized is that I part my disease wants other people to take responsibility for me. I want you all to take responsibility for me, whether it's emotional or anything. It doesn't even matter, right? Because I'm a child. And I do not want to be an adult. I don't want to pick up that phone. Mainly emotionally, I want you guys to take care of me. And in my personal relationships, you know, I want my 18-year-old son to take care of me and my partner to take care of me. And last night, you know, I was speaking to this miracle that called me, and it was like, oh, it was like a wake-up call. It was like, oh, I see what's going on. I'm asking all of you to make me feel secure. You make me feel loved. You make me feel worth something. You know, because I'm a child and you're the adult. And this is a big part of my fourth step, which I'm on right now. And it was so helpful to talk to somebody, right? To get that, oh my goodness gracious, I see what's going on, God. Thank you so much. And then she said, I want you to pray every morning that you no longer are a child, that you no longer are going to ask people to take responsibility for you. And it was so simple. I was like, oh, I see what's going on. I don't need to do that. And God said, well, you're going to pray to me every morning because you can't do this. You cannot relieve yourself of this. And it was the most helpful phone call I've had in a very long time. And, you know, and so it says, what about my responsibilities, you know? And he's it's a miracle, right? It's a miracle that he picks up the phone. You know, it's a complete rearrangement of ourselves. And last night I had a complete rearrangement of myself because I picked up the phone and somebody had to talk to me and tell me, Wendy,
time.
You are making everybody responsible for your entire life. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Regina S., please share with us, followed by Rella R.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, I'm Regina S. from New York. It's actually my first time sharing. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I've been on Vision, listening to it for over a year, and I've had neutrality with food for about 6 months. And when I was happy and neutral and I was, like, doing well, I couldn't pick up the phone. I just have this fear of just picking up the phone and sharing. And now that I'm in relapse, I'm actually picking up the phone to share. And this thing about calling people is like it's such a wonderful thing. It makes me feel so good when I speak to other people. But yet the phone is so heavy. Like, why is it so heavy to just pick up? And everyone is so nice, and it's such a good feeling. And I commit, I tell myself every day I'm going to do it. And I'm supposed to call three people, and I do one, sometimes two, and the reason why I just want to get back on, I love this program. I just want to be connected and just be a better person. It's so wonderful listening to every morning to everyone share and everyone's positive. It's just, I cannot let go of this program, and I just want to be part of it. And I'm going to push myself to continue. And I had a day one yesterday, and I just want to be connected, and I thank everyone for all the ones everyone shares, and thank you. And this is a big deal for me to share. So I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Regina S., for the courage to share today. We really appreciate it. Rella R., yes. Rella R., please share with us, followed by Brenda S.
Yeah, good morning. It's Rella R., recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you, leader, and all for your shares and everyone who's doing service today. what this struck me as when I read about that shiver, he turned away and walked down the lobby. To me, that shiver represents that shiver of fear as to how vulnerable I am, how weak I am, how the knowledge of how frail that one step, like how that one wrong step and the one wrong choice can take a second, but can lead me down a very despairing path. And I think he recognized his power. And I also, I'm so grateful. It's so fortuitous. I'm grateful to God that Bill made this choice to make a phone call. And so many things boil down to that choice that, to me, that I think may be trivial or maybe small, but the currents, the ripple effect of it are so big. And also remembering that I'm not an island, that what I do does affect other people. And all this is awareness. I think it comes with a knowledge of my higher power who grants me this awareness. And I'm so grateful because what he did had an effect on thousands of us. So, it reminds me of my vulnerability, my fragility. It reminds me to pick up the phone, and that's always a good decision to make. I constantly am surprised that my internal forgetter forgets that I'm not in this alone and that I can reach out. So thank you all for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rella R. from New York. Brenda S., please share with us, followed by Nancy W.
Good morning. It's Brenda S. from Washington State. I was just thinking about the clergyman, the person on the other end that I've called, you know, when I make the calls with you guys out there, just unknown people sometimes and how they help me untangle and bring me to acceptance of a situation or pray with me, just help me think things through. I just really am appreciating these unknown people sometimes and that become friends and that just pick up the phone. Or they randomly pick up the phone to a stranger they don't know, and really appreciate this program. And thank you, everybody, for being there today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Brenda S. from Washington. I'm now going to, Nancy W., it's your turn to share, followed by Deb E. Go ahead, Nancy.
Nancy W. from Ontario, Canada. This is just really touching me this morning because for the last 6 weeks, and it's going to continue, I've had more chaos in my life than I have been a very long time. And the thing about it is there's no fear. I am calm. I am at peace. And that's only because I have surrendered it to my higher power. And so just hearing the stories, the experiences this morning, just affirms and in me that absolutely, you know, that this is the way to true life. And it's the peace that I need and I want and I desire. And it is only through my fellows hearing your stories that that I not only get that, but it just affirms that what I'm doing is the right thing to do, and of course with the inner peace. And so I just thank you so much for being on here and letting me talk and being there for me. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Nancy W. from California. Deb E., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. There's a lot in this paragraph that really resonates with me. Think back to, how low, basically almost non-existent my self-esteem was. At the time that I came into the program, and this reminder here that I can help another fellow, that it gives me, it gave me purpose to know that even though I to be told that even with one day experience in the program, I had more than the person who was on day zero, just coming in. I don't know how much I believed it at the time, but I went with it. Like I acted on it and I just gave back what was given to me. And with that, with working the program, my self-esteem grew. And today I recognize how much I have to give, and I'm happy to give it and share it. Having that responsibility has given me a lot of purpose, and just being of service brought a lot of meaning into my life that wasn't there before. And just, kind of jumping in on what some other people shared about responsibility and not wanting to be responsible, I'm still kind of I think I say this a lot, but I just find with age and with more years in program, just more is revealed and I understand more about my behavior from the past and what I did. And my history has been that I have not wanted to take responsibility. My default is to just look to everybody else for an excuse or a reason, blame everyone else for why I am the way I am, why I act the way I act. I like to analyze, and we're taught in here that that's not where the focus should be. I need to be responsible. I need to own my story. I need to just accept it and use it to empower me, to help others. And I like how they say selecting a church at random from the directory. For me, that just reinforces how it doesn't matter who I help in program, who I speak to, who I reach out to. It's anybody who needs the help. It doesn't have to be this complicated, I don't have to go through this list in my head. Well, it's got to be this kind of person, and they have to have this many days, and they have to have this kind of problem, and they have to have this in common with me. It's just help any other compulsive eater. That's it. And that's why it can be at random. It's just being of service. And I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? We have time for two-minute shares. Press star one. Let me know your name. Who is that, Reba?
Rena in New Jersey.
Rena? Okay, and then who is the other?
Luann?
I'm sorry, who?
Luann.
Luann, okay. Luann, and what's your initial, Luann?
C.
Luann C. And for the other voice in there, I'm so sorry, but please come back tomorrow. But Rena from New Jersey, please share with us a 2-minute share followed by Luann C. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I don't have that much to say, so somebody else can take the rest of it. Thank you so much for your service, Rena in New Jersey. I'm briefly abstinent today, abstinent for quite a few days, feeling at peace with my program and really being grateful that so many people are only a phone call away when I'm feeling triggered, when I feel disturbed for any reason. And now, being part of the solution, living in the solution, is allowing me to show up for the rest of my life in a way that can serve people. And a few days ago, I felt like, I got done with everything early that I planned to do, and my instinct was to, I should go get something to eat. And then I'm like, wait a minute, what do people who are abstinent do? What kind of life do they get to do? What kind of things do they get to accomplish? Because I'm fully available to live. And that really has been carrying me through the days when I feel triggered to take a longer view, to take, to zoom out a little bit and see what God is making available for me. With abstinence. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Rena from New Jersey. Luann C., please share with us.
Hi, thank you everyone for being here. I really appreciate it. It's not lost on me that I'm Luann C., recovered in Boise, Idaho. It's not lost on me that I'm at the 6-month point, and this is, you know, this whole time where Bill was. What is impressing me about this is the math of it. Previous to this paragraph, there's 5 paragraphs of the dilemma, and that then we've got this tiny paragraph of the intercession and maybe even just a phrase, and then pages of the solution follow. And it really reminds me of how God works in my life. You know, I spent my whole life doing it my way and coming in and out of, you know, thoughts of sanity. And then, you know, in God's hands, in a few short weeks, my whole life has been turned around. And also that it clarifies to me when it's time to make the call. Because before, I always thought you make the call when the Twinkie's on its way to your mouth. And, of course, that never was going to happen. But now it's bringing it down to the actual thinking that that's when you make the call. And so I'm thinking that that's my next phase of growth. So I'm so grateful for the shares that made so much clarified so much this morning. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. And we do have time for one more quick share. Is there someone out there who already announced their names who I didn't happen to hear your name? If you could press star 1 and let me know your name. If I missed your name earlier, if you'd like to share, press star 1.
Hi, it's Elizabeth. I'm sorry, I didn't know I was muted.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Elizabeth. Go ahead, please share with us. Go ahead.
Yes. Elizabeth C., I'm in the Los Angeles area. You know, I've been thinking a lot about responsibility, like being responsible and adulting. And this really brings me, it's interesting that I'm reading this, you know, he's being responsible in the fact that he is calling a clergyman. He's not taking it upon himself to find that person that needs the help. He doesn't want to. He needs to truly be useful. And I think that is the area for me where I run into trouble. I'll have a lot of people needing help, and they're not, it's like I'm not really being useful. And so, and I don't mean fellows. I'm just talking about out in the world and life and, you know, everyday living. But he's looking for a fellow. He's looking, you know, so he knows the ropes. He's going to call someone so that he can be useful. And that is being responsible to find the person through a clergyman, someone removed from himself, the person that he can help. And with that, I pass. And thanks.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth C., and to everyone who shared today. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.